Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, human remains have been discovered today on a beach in West Donegal. An independent Donegal TD believes that a left-wing government is still possible and it's what the electorate have voted for. A teenager is recovering after being attacked in the early hours of Saturday morning following a junior disco. Elsewhere, two pensioners have been left badly shaken after their home was broken into and ransacked in Strabane yesterday evening. And nine colleges, including Letterkenny Institute of Technology, are to benefit from a new €80,000 online system for reporting sexual assaults. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, and just within the past hour, it's emerged that human remains have been discovered on a beach in West Donegal. Gardaí and the Coast Guard are currently carrying out searches along the coastline following the discovery today of the remains on Bunbeg Beach. A scene is currently in place and investigations are ongoing. Sinn Féin's government negotiators are meeting with the head of the Department of the Taoiseach today. The party will hold talks with a number of independents tomorrow as efforts continue to form a government. Donegal TD Pierce Doherty says they're working with government departments to try and form a programme for government.
Yesterday, Mary Lou MacDonald met with the Secretary General of the Department of Antisha, and today our negotiating team is going to carry on those discussions. That will be followed up with meetings with individual departments as Sinn Féin begin the process of transforming our manifesto into a programme for government, a programme for change.
Meanwhile, an independent Donegal TD believes that a left-wing government is still possible and it's what the electorate have voted for. However, Thomas Pringle says it will be a minority government with the opposition allowing the way forward. Deputy Pringle says the onus is on all elected TDs to ensure that that happens.
If there's a left-wing government to be formed, it will be a minority government with either the tacit support of the opposition to allow things to happen, or with a formal arrangement with one of the opposition groupings to allow the government to be formed. I think that is still the desirable option, because it is clear that the people voted for a left-wing alternative and voted against Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and forming a government. So I think the onus is on us as that alternative to ensure that that happens.
On today's 9 till noon show, Donegal Fine Gael TD and Acting Education Minister Joe McHugh acknowledged that his party had come third in the election and said those on the left should be given the time and space to see if they can form a government. However, he said that does not necessarily mean he and his colleagues would support or vote for such a government. He acknowledged that Fine Gael had made mistakes in the campaign and warned those on the left that government is much more difficult than some seem to believe.
We were trying to figure things out. We were trying to make choices with limited resources, and there's enormous challenges out there. And if anybody on the left thinks that government is an easy job, if it was easy, we'd all be at it. And it's not easy, and you have to make choices. We did make obvious mistakes in terms of communicating our message, in terms of sometimes coming across as maybe being disconnected from the public. All that type of stuff was really important, and people who voted last Saturday week did on an emotional basis as well, on a gut basis, and felt that Fine Gael wasn't representing them properly. So we'll take that head on, but to say that we didn't put the people at the centre is not good enough.
Okay.
But also it's important, just final thought point, Greg, for Thomas now, and it's good, look, it's important for Donegal listeners to hear us and our positions and our party positions, but it's important now for the likes of Mary Lou and Pierre and Padraig to sit down with Thomas. There's 3 out of 5 TDs elected in this county, that election for change. And also, as that's not going to work, to sit down with Charlie's party, Charlie McConnell Logan, see is there an option there.
Gardaí say they are taking the sale and supply of drugs in Donegal very seriously. It's after €5,000 worth of cocaine was uncovered during a search of a car in the St Johnston area following a routine traffic stop yesterday evening. The driver also tested positive for driving under the influence of drugs. The driver was arrested, charged and is to appear before the courts. Sergeant Eunan Walsh is reminding people to never drive under the influence.
The search was conducted on the vehicle and a package which was believed to be cocaine to the value of €5,000 was found in the car. The driver was arrested, interviewed and charged to appear in court at a later date. Again, the for years and years, there's always the talk of drink driving and don't drink and don't drive, and it seems to be now don't take drugs and drive, you know, because we are testing, people might be aware, and that we're testing for drugs at the roadside and in the guard station in Letterkenny and all district headquarters. To make people aware, there was a recent operation over two weekends involving the Roads Policing Unit in Letterkenny and the Donegal Divisional Drugs Unit, and over the two weekends, 18 people were arrested for drug driving.
A teenager is recovering after being attacked in the early hours of Saturday morning following a junior disco. The youth was making his way to his boss at the shopping centre car park when he was set upon by a number of teenagers between midnight and 12:30 a.m. with whom he had exchanged words with earlier in the evening. He received a number of kicks and punches to his face and body and was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital for treatment. Sergeant Walsh is urging anyone with information to come forward.
He was set upon by a number of males who we believe he exchanged words with earlier at the disco, received a number of kicks and punches to the face and body, and unfortunately had to be taken to Letterkenny University Hospital. A number of injuries to his head, fortunately not too serious. So again, we're appealing for information in relation to that. At that time, it would have busy, a lot of young people in the area, a lot of taxis, bus drivers, parents collecting children and that. So anybody who may have witnessed the incident or anything suspicious in the area at the time, to come forward and contact us at Letterkenny 07491 67100. Obviously the children or the young people who attended this school are probably on midterm at the minute, and probably, as you say, they're not listening to the show, but it's possible that their parents are, and maybe the appeal is that if your young son or daughter came home and said, "Mum and Dad, I saw a row happening last night, or I saw a young fella being assaulted," then we'd like them to get in touch with us in the matter, you know.
Sinn Féin says it will not be deterred from pursuing their objective of a united Ireland despite the threat of an attack in the north. Last night, the party was informed that the so-called New IRA is planning a bomb attack on the car of a member. The party's Vice President Michelle O'Neill has said that this is a threat against thousands of members and their families. Sinn Féin's policing spokesperson Gerry Kelly says it stemmed from himself and Miss O'Neill attending a PSNI recruitment drive. Two pensioners have been left badly shaken after their home was broken into and ransacked in Strabane yesterday evening. It's believed that thieves entered the house in St Mary's Place, which was unoccupied at the time, via a window at the rear of the property sometime between 2:20 and 6:50 p.m. A number of rooms were ransacked and a sum of cash made up of a quantity of change was taken. Anyone who may have seen any suspicious activity or any vehicles driving in a suspicious manner is asked to contact police. Local councillor Raymond Barr says it would appear the house was being watched prior to the break-in.
Fairly early in the evening. You know, so obviously it would seem that whoever's responsible was watching the house or watching the occupants or seen them leaving the house and took the opportunity to break into the house. As far as I know, they broke a window at the rear of the house and entered. They ransacked the kitchen area. As far as I know, they got away with a bottle that the couple had been saving 20 pence pieces on. May not have been a large amount, but the concern here obviously is, you know, if the couple had arrived back when they were in the house, God knows what would have happened. The consequence of what happened here is that this couple have been left shocked and living in that house now. They're fearful. And as well as all the residents in the area, you know, they're going to be asking serious questions, you know, about their own security. These people, the most vulnerable people in our society, you know, that's something that they don't need.
And as you say, it is disturbing that possibly this house was being washed, and once the occupants left, the thieves took their opportunity. So it's timely as well to remind people to check on their elderly family and neighbours.
The fact that it happened so early in the evening, you know, would certainly indicate that the house was being watched, or the movements of the couple were being watched. You know, and I would urge anyone who has elderly neighbours or knows of any elderly person living on their own, maybe check on them on a regular basis just to make sure that they're all right. Older people can be forgetful, maybe forget the locked doors, whatever, you know. And as I say, if these people are prepared to do that in broad daylight.
Nine colleges, including Letterkenny Institute of Technology, are to benefit from a new €80,000 online system for reporting sexual assaults. Data collected via the tool will be used to understand sexual misconduct among students. It's hoped the new system will encourage victims to come forward, as people can report anonymously. Chairperson of the Psychological Counsellors in Higher Education Ireland, Gertie Raftery, says it will give a voice to the voiceless.
There are a number of interventions going on at the moment, but, you know, when you're trying to put interventions in place and you don't know the incidents, or the prevalence, it's very difficult to do that accurately. And the idea of this is that we could get accurate recordings. So we've got 9 colleges, and we have a very good mix from the bigger urban colleges to smaller rural colleges. So it should give us very accurate data, and we should be able to extrapolate from that to the general student population.
2 Irish citizens have tested positive for coronavirus in Japan. They were among 6 Irish citizens on board a quarantine ship. Niall Colbert reports.
The 2 people who have tested positive for coronavirus are currently being treated in hospital in Japan. The Department of Foreign Affairs says they share dual citizenship with another EU member state and are not normally resident in Ireland. The department says the remaining 4 Irish people on board the Princess Diamond cruise ship remain quarantined on board, and options for their return are being worked on. Meanwhile, 9 Irish people are on board another ship quarantined off the coast of Cambodia. 7 of those on the Westerdam cruise ship are currently being screened. 2 other Irish citizens who were also passengers on board that ship returned to Ireland over the weekend. The Department of Foreign Affairs says it won't comment on any individual's health, but to date, though, the Department of Health has said there are no cases of the coronavirus in Ireland.
Serious safety concerns have been raised over students having to cross a busy main road in Brocklis to get from a bus to a nearby housing estate. It's understood that students have to wait for 5 minutes or more and resort to holding hands and running across the road. The issue has led to urgent calls on Donegal County Council to carry out a review with a view towards improving safety measures there. Local councillor Niamh Kennedy says one motorist contacted her who was very distressed over the matter.
A woman came to the office there about 10 days ago now or more, and she was really upset and quite distraught. She was on the road toward Donegal town, and the bus had stopped in front of her and pulled off and let off 4 young girls, mm-hmm. young students. And she had stopped the car to let them cross. It's a red marking. It's not a pedestrian crossing as such. It's just one of those courtesy crossings. Now, it's actually well worn. And the traffic was coming from the Donegal town direction. Quite a lot of heavy goods vehicles coming.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Get everything you need for training and match days in store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's almost 5:15 and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with soccer cross-channel. Jose Mourinho says Republic of Ireland international Troy Parrott won't be considered despite his striker crisis. The Tottenham manager doesn't expect Son to play again this season. The Korean forward fractured his arm in Sunday's win at Aston Villa and joins Harry Kane on the sidelines. Speaking ahead of Spurs' Champions League meeting with RB Leipzig, Mourinho told reporters he wouldn't be using Parrott or Ryan Session as replacements.
My thoughts are that Parrott is not ready and Sessegnon is not a striker.
Can you talk us through what your thinking would be for the front three then?
Play without a striker.
Liverpool can take another step towards their successful defence of the Champions League this evening. The holders start their knockout stage campaign with the first leg of their last 16 tie away to Atletico Madrid. Manager Jurgen Klopp knows they're in for a tough night in Spain.
I would say playing Atletico is one of the most difficult things in the life of a football player. Really good organised, a result machine, squeezing results pretty much out of each game if possible, yes.
In tonight's other game, Borussia Dortmund host reigning French champions PSG. Both games start at 8 o'clock. The draw was made earlier today for the first round of the EA Sports Cup. Ulster Senior League champions Coghill Celtic have been handed an away tie to First Division side Longford Town. That game will be played on Tuesday the 10th of March. 12 teams were in the draw, with the 6 winners joining the 10 Premier Division teams in the second round. To boxing, Derryman Tyrone McCullough will fight Ryan Walsh in the Golden Contract semi-final this Friday night at the York Hall in London. McCullough goes into the featherweight contest with a polished 14-0 pro record, 6 of which were knockouts. The last 4 lineup was confirmed with the fighter selections on Sky Sports this afternoon.
But I've chose Tyrone because I think stylistically we've worked more against this type of style, so we'll see how it all plans out.
Confident in my own body, and I'm glad I got picked to it. I didn't want the gold ball, but Ryan's a great fighter and I'm looking forward to a great nothing but respect.
The other semi-final is Jazza Dickens taking on Lee Wood. To rugby now, and England will be without Marco Vanopolo for Sunday's Six Nations clash with Ireland at Twickenham. The Saracens' loosehead prop has been released from the squad to allow him to travel to Tonga for family reasons. Manu Tuilagi and Henry Slade are both back after recovering from injury. In other rugby news, Donegal's Mae Alcorn has been named in the Ireland under-18s women's squad that will travel to Scotland for a training weekend. Alcorn is one of four players to make up the Ulster contingent in the squad. Mae was capped for Ireland last year when she took part in the under-18 sevens tournament, which was held in Paris. Irish rugby legend Paul O'Connell is set to tee it up at the Pro-Am ahead of the Dubai Duty-Free Irish Open. The Pro-Am will take place at Mount Juliet on Wednesday, May 27th, the day before the Rolex Series event. Open winner Shane Lowry, defending champion John Rahm and tournament host Graham McDowell are also among the players who have confirmed for the event. On the colleges front, Gaelic Games wise, there was defeat for the LYT Ladies in the Moynihan Cup competition last night. They lost out to Cork IT 19-16. Nadine Freely scored the LYT's goal in the second half. They're not out of the competition just yet. They're now into the backdoor quarter final, where they will play the winners of UL or MICL next week. And finally, the blue and white buses are back on the road again this coming Friday, as Van Harps will be making the short journey to play Derry City in the second series of matches in the Premier Division of the SSE Air Trustee League. There's two buses now being organised by the club for Friday. Bus one will be departing Balbuffet. The second bus will be departing Remelton. And for details of times, you can go on to the Fun Harps social media pages, or indeed check them out at funharps.ie. Next Sport in Highlands tomorrow morning, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisín. And returning to some news, Donegal County Council's Director of Economic Development says there will be more Donegal Connect events into the future, but each year will see a different emphasis. Gary Martin was speaking after the inaugural 2019 event won the Best Tourism Initiative at the All Ireland Community and Council Awards 2020 last weekend. In late September last year, members of the diaspora were invited to come home and connect again with the county, with a series of events highlighting the benefits of living and doing business in Donegal. Mr. Martin says last year's event was a major success.
The intention, I suppose, was to see how we could create some additional economic activity at a lesser time of the year, whilst trying to do some economic development activity in parallel with that. The success of the weekend was the manifestation of all of that. It was a very, very good week-long range of events across a wide range of areas of the county, and it's something clearly that has given us food for thought as to how we might be able to continue to do something of a similar nature going forward.
Has there been any assessment done to indicate how many extra people came to the county as a result of Donegal Connect? How much extra business did it actually bring?
We're quite satisfied that there was a multi-million euro impact of the event over the week-long range of activities, and we're also quite satisfied that there were, I suppose, a number of thousand visitors that would have come to the county for the various events that wouldn't have come otherwise. And it's really a question, I suppose, now of parsing that to the point of identifying how best we can replicate the best aspects of it to have a good, strong economic impact in parts of the county that don't always necessarily see the benefit of tourists or the benefit of businesses being in their particular area.
And we can expect Donegal Connect to become an annual event, albeit perhaps modified and changed based on the experience of 2019?
Yeah, I think what we intend to do, Donal, is we intend to have an ongoing Donegal Connect event, but it will be different in form and in type and in content from year to year, because obviously we need to keep it fresh. We also need to be mindful of what's actually working particularly well at any given time. So just watch this space. We'll be having some announcements in the next near while in relation to what we're planning to do for 2020.
Members of Donegal County Council are being briefed on the authority's new Economic Development Unit. The unit will develop a five-year economic development strategy for the council with a view towards realising the targets set out in the recently adopted corporate plan. Catherine Gaffney has more.
The new Economic Development Unit will seek to consolidate work being done by Donegal County Council in recent years to attract development, foster increased employment and promote the county as a key tourist destination. One of the proposals is that the unit will act as a concierge service, providing a dedicated first point of contact for potential business startups or business expansion opportunities, particularly in terms of detailing what council supports are available. The unit will also identify and market council-owned property for economic development opportunities. A key aim of the unit will be to actively seek foreign direct investment from the US and elsewhere in collaboration with Derry City and Strabane District Council and other agencies. The importance of the Atlantic Economic Corridor is also being highlighted, with the unit pledging to work with other councils along the western coast to progress mutually beneficial projects. The unit will begin by engaging with existing businesses across Donegal, with the first event scheduled to take place during Enterprise Week in March.
The National Ambulance Service is urging the public to learn off their air code. It comes after a recent study shows 60% of people never or rarely use the postal codes. The National Ambulance Service says everyone should know their air code in the case of an emergency. And finally, construction will shortly begin on a new three-storey radiation oncology centre at University Hospital Galway. The Seattle Hospital Group says the new centre should be operational by 2023. Greg Hughes has more.
While many Donegal patients now receive radiotherapy services at Auchnagelvin Hospital in Derry, a large number are still treated in Galway. The new facility there will include 7 radiotherapy treatment vaults, a brachiotherapy suite, 2 CT rooms, on-treatment support and ancillary physics, treatment planning and administration facilities. The facility will be built on the site of the former acute mental health unit, and Sealta says significant work has been underway over the last 6 months to clear the site to enable construction to begin. Ms. Chris Kane, General Manager of Galway University Hospital, said this is a hugely important development for cancer patients right across the west, with the 8,000 metre square facility allowing a significant increase in radiotherapy services. The tender process is currently being concluded and the contractor will be appointed shortly. Construction work will take approximately 2 years, after which the unit will be commissioned.
Weather now, a blustery evening with scattered showers, some of the showers heavy and of hail with a slight risk of thunder. A few wintry showers of sleet or snow are possible over higher ground. Maximum temperatures of 5 to 7 degrees in fresh to strong and gusty southwest to west winds, with gales at times along the north and northwest coasts. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, human remains have been discovered on a beach in West Donegal. Gardaí and the Coast Guard are currently carrying out searches along the coastline following the discovery today of the remains on Bombay Beach. An independent Donegal TD believes that a left-wing government is still possible, and it's what the electorate have voted for. However, Thomas Pringle says it would be a minority government, with the opposition allowing the way forward. Gardaí say they are taking the sale and supply of drugs in Donegal very seriously. It's after 5,000 euro worth of cocaine was uncovered during a search of a car in the St Johnson area following a routine traffic stop yesterday evening. And a teenager is recovering after being attacked in the early hours of Saturday morning following a junior disco. The youth was making his way to his bus at the shopping centre car park when he was set upon by a number of teenagers between midnight and 12:30, with whom he had exchanged words with earlier in the evening. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 18th of February. The death has taken place of Sarah Alcorn, Glenalla, Milford. Sarah's remains will repose at her daughter Sadie and Michael Logue's residence, Glenkeen, Milford, from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral service on Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock in St Columbkill's Church of Ireland, Glenalla. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please, donations, if desired, to Remelton Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Sean McMahon, 7 Templemore Park, Derry. Funeral from his home on Thursday morning at 20 to 10 for Requiem Mass at 10:15 in St Patrick's Church, Pennyburn, followed by interment in the city cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu if desired to Macmillan Cancer. The death has taken place of Dennis Sweeney, Maharabeg, Downings. Removal from Odyssey Donal Nursing Home, Milford, this evening at 6 o'clock, going to his niece Elaine and husband Bernard Ural's home at Castle Shanahan, Remelton Road. Funeral Mass at 11 o'clock on Thursday morning in the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigart, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family Flowers only please donations in lieu of desired to Odyssey Donal Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. And the death has occurred of Plancheus Lawrence Cunningham, Schlieveleague Avenue, Carrick. Remains reposing at the family home in Schlieveleague Avenue, Carrick from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass at 12 noon on Thursday in St. Columbus Church, Carrick, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. on both nights of the wake and also on the morning of the funeral.